asshole has been down there. You've been going in there at 9 o'clock and coming out about 5 in the morning, right?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, because they down there with me, man, an hour to the fucking law. I said, you cops working out every Count Basie, Duke's Elephants, Lonnie Hamilton's.
Yeah. Which one?
Count Basie,
huh?
And all them motherfuckers, ain't nobody said a word. Come down with me, not hours too motherfucking long. So all y'all just suck out the crack of my big black ass.
He doesn't
damn. I don't know what the
well, if all you cats are relaxed, I'll ask you some questions.
Alright. Ah, we.
I'm gonna ask, I just got 4 or 5 questions I wanna ask it, and then each of you can take turns to answer it. And you don't have to stick to the question. Just as long as Pops is the subject, you can go on about anything. And this is for the Saturday Review. They're doing the thing on Pops. They interviewed Bud Freeman, and Stanley Dance is doing the story. And they're using some of my photographs. And they wanted me to get 4 cats together and talk about Lewis. So here we are.
I saw him last week on with the...
Orson Welles.
No.
Oh, Mike Douglas.
Mike Douglas. He's the co-host that was last
week. Yeah, that was
so. Yeah.
Who was that fat cat hosting?
Orson Welles.
Orson
Welles. Was that Orson Welles?
Yeah.
With a priest outfit?
Yeah.
Is he a priest?
No, yeah, he just had a dark shirt on.
Funny.
What the heck? Did he have one of those?
Yeah, that's like
habit, man.
Well,
yeah.
That should cover up his belly. He's got a fucking belly.
Yeah, damn.
I didn't know who the fuck it was. Cause they never did to show any credits through the show. I didn't see the beginning and I didn't see the very end of it. You know.
He was the host. He was filming for
Pops.
David Frost.
Yeah, for David Frost. I saw the band play the number. Jimmy Owens played his little sidewinder.
Yeah.
And trombone player played a solo.
Yeah. What's that trombone player's name?
I can't think of his name. I don't
know. Right now.
That's a good job, bitch.
Yeah, damn, that's a good one. You know, I turned that motherfucker down a fucking idiot. I had the band, had a chance to take the band on that.
Oh, Jim Frost? Oh, what's his name? Billy Taylor got it.
And you could have had it?
I had it. But the reason I did so is because it was too, basically, you can't take off. And I was involved with the clinic scenes, and I wanted to get out of town as well.
Yeah.
But the second thing, one of his other prerequisites was that you had to put all of your music in his publishing firm. Fuck that.
Oh, yeah.
Which
publisher?
And his, David Frost.
David Frost?
Shit's in
Wow. He's trying
to corner the whole market, the music
that's
market,
what
the entertainment.
That's what all the motherfuckers do. Shit.
He's going every week.
Yeah, he goes back to England
take a sack of money back.
Yeah, that's right. Fresh money every trip.
Yeah,
got a bit right back to England. Motherfucker goes with all that scrap.
Okay, let's talk about Pops.
All right.
The first thing is, when did you first hear Pops, either on record or in person? Clark, you want to start out?
The first time I heard Pops, my mother say something about, son, don't you do that now. You know that's not nice.
Okay.
You know, I was practically weaning on Pops. So.
But you heard him on record before you heard him on person.
Yeah.
And when did you hear him in person?
First time I heard, it was many years after I heard him on record, before I had an opportunity to hear him in person. I don't actually recall what year it was. I was still in.
Were you playing trumpet when you...
At this point, I was already playing.
Were you playing when you heard him on record?
No, I wasn't. Oh, the first time.
Did he inspire you to take up the horn?
Definitely. And I think that anybody who's my age or older, maybe a little younger, if they didn't admit that Pops kind of had something to do with them, they'd tell them a goddamn lie.
Yeah.
I know a whole lot of cats are wild. No, I ain't never particularly good.
Yeah, put nobody on the rock. You might have been around, you hit on the bottom because they wasn't gone. Just a few other cats were gone way back then.
Yes.
Billy, when did you first pick up on it?
Well, I first started one of my records. And back as far as I can remember.
Was that before you were playing trumpet too?
No.
You were already playing.
I was already playing. I gotta say, like Clark, Jesus, I knew every chorus he ever played. You know?
Yeah.
And he definitely influenced me. And first time I ever saw him in person, that was with Bob Crosby's band, and he did a show with us, and it really, really impressed me. Came in with all the handkerchiefs. Frenchie was with him, you know.
Frenchie was with him way back then.
Well, this was about, I guess it was about 1937.
Yeah. I just heard Frenchie die.
Oh, you did?
Frenchie died, yeah.
You know Frenchie?
Yeah.
Can't think of much good to say about
him. I didn't know that well.
You're lucky.
And Ray, were you playing trumpet before you heard Louie on record? Or?
No, I wasn't playing trumpet. First time I heard Louie was in, I guess about 1927. There wasn't much pop in theaters in Chicago.
Yeah.
This guy used to play all the records right there, you know. And
that was in that record shop, wasn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
And records like Sweethearts on Parade. When Louis first started recording with his own group,
that's with the big band.
Well, you had, small band.
You had an advantage over us too, right?
Yeah, I had a band.
He was around Chicago.
Right. He was working right up. I was living right about half a block from where he was playing.
35th Street, there, wasn't it?
Well, he started down there, down 35th. Then he came up. He came up with. Playing at the Vendome,
later he came up with
Erskine Tate and Gabe. He was at the Met with Erskine Tate.
No.
And when I was a little kid, I started playing trumpet. I remember it was 1927, the year very clear. And. When I first saw him in person, he came to Savoy. Savoy had just been built, you know.
Yeah.
I used to play all in the excavation there when they were building the Regal and the Savoy.
Yeah.
And they used to have collegiate night on Friday, and he was playing with Clarence Black's orchestra, who it was. They were the first band to come in there, Clarence Black. They had two bands. Carol Dickerson. And then when Louis got his own band, he came, he was one of the first attractions to come back from the Savoy. And I used to see him, when I used to feature him doing Tiger Rag and all his recordings.
Yeah.
And he used to play these courses on Tiger Rag and make these 100 high C's. Captain Wings and Observations Count, you know.
Yeah.
And this motherfucker, when he get to 99, boy, when he get to 99, he hit the C, you know, and rattle it, rattle it. And man, people about to piss on himself, man. Me right with him, man. I'm still up there. Motherfucker don't make it, boy. This motherfucker ran back, boy, and rolled his eyes and take him back. Bam! Hit that old boy in the whole motherfucking thing. Pandemonium, boy. I'm telling you, that was the greatest thrill that I'd ever had in my whole life. In fact, it's one of the greatest thrills that I've ever witness. You know, just to see a cat do that, you know, visualize, see them do it, boy.
In them days, it was unheard of.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And this was before 1930, between 27, about 30, 29, 33.
Can you imagine a cat as inventive as that. Nobody had laid out any chord patterns.
That's right. I mean, he comes without nobody to go on.
What he
felt
within. And, and if you trace it back, and dig it, lay it out, and analyze it, theoretically, and it's perfect.
Yeah, it's beautiful, man.
And it's as advanced as tomorrow, man.
That's right.
Beautiful edibles he played.
Yeah. That's what makes him so great, because... he didn't have nobody to listen. He said he talked about what's that cat that he came?
Oliver.
King Oliver,
it's
Buddy Bolden.
Yeah,
well, nobody ever heard him on a record.
Right.
Buddy Bolden?
Yeah, on record.
I don't think he ever recorded.
Pop speaks of him occasionally.
Yeah.
Well, I heard King Oliver play. Person. Yeah. Well, Louis was influenced a little bit by him, but
and
he went so much further.
Of course.
He took it from there.
Yeah.
Like they had a record of them. I used to have like Canal Street Blues, I think.
Where
the two of us played. It was the Elba record.
Now, some of Louis' musical qualities are things like range and tone and all of those things. Did you guys try to pick up on just like everything that he was putting down? The technique, the tone, the range?
Well, actually, I was just
so
inspired by this cat. You couldn't just pinpoint any one thing to
it was like the whole thing.
This time, I wasn't even playing when I first heard him. So, to me, it just made me think of, wow, I'd love to play one of them things. Whatever that man's playing, I want one of them.
Yeah, I want one. Mama, give me that. Yeah.
One of the guys I used to be working with, they all used to. The only place we could hear him was on records, because he never came around that much. And everybody used to trade their records back and forth. Yeah.
I guess you'd buy the records, you'd be waiting for his next one to come out.
Yeah.
So he could run the store, he could pick it up.
Yeah. Well, he'd already had a lot of records out.
Yeah.
This one, well, I'm talking about, it's about 1935.
Yeah, I was making my first wave on it.
There we go, Lord.
Hey, Bill.
This dude looks very good to me.
Looks like mine.
Ray, tell me, what do you think Louis' influence has been on American music in general? Or how has he influenced music?
There's no doubt that he's, he's the foremost leading exponent of jazz trumpet playing. I mean, foundation for jazz trumpet playing, the jazz idiom.
You think he influenced?
I think he's
popular.
To my mind, he's the greatest influence. Jazz. Between he and Ellington, I think that two of our greatest pioneers, they've left the biggest stamp on jazz music.
I think that in forms of tracing jazz down to the current day player, you'll find not just jazz trumpet playing, you find places, tinges, and tents of pops in almost every successful jazz player.
Right.
I think if you analyze it,
Don't you think that goes into
all jazz,
non-jazz things, like
and arrangers too,
like
right?
Like popular music and people like Bing Crosby, and
right? Sure.
Frank Sinatra and Tony Bennett. I'm sure they all got something out of Pops, especially his singing.
Of course.
All the only arrangers that. A lot of them,
and the song, he must influence all the songwriters. Like
songwriters, of
Jones,
course, you can hear it every day.
They wrote tunes just for him.
Yeah.
Jimmy McHugh.
Yeah.
He's a living exponent, I think, in all facets of jazz. Sure. Selling a song, singing a song, playing trumpet, establishing a rapport between the audience and the bandstand, showmanship. He's just a living exponent. And it had to rub off on anybody who was interested in carrying on in that tradition. So as I said before, you trace it all the way down to the most avant-garde cat, and you'll find some tinges of Pops in there.
Even if they don't know it.
Even if they don't know it. You try to put it down.
Unconsciously.
Well, Pops is the combination of a great musician and a great showman.
Absolutely.
The two together.
Proof of this is now, like these shows he's doing, he doesn't play on these shows.
No.
Right.
He can sit down and talk.
He doesn't even have to sing. He just
sit down and talk about life and his experiences and spellbind everybody in the audience.
That's right. Yeah, I think he's just about one of our greatest influences on the whole scene.
The thing that they had, like, you know, with Ambassador Satch, I think it's very, very true to me.
Yeah, Ambassador.
The world's the greatest, right?
Absolutely. He went places that nobody else could
absolutely
go.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Places that politicians don't dare show
that's
their faces
right,
right
now.
Well, do you think if it hadn't been for the element of showmanship in Pop's presentation that he might not have made it as big as he did?
I wouldn't say that. Pops is such a warm cat, man. Yeah. He can just smile
and
everybody loves him. He's just a warm personality, regardless of his talent and his ability to project.
But the showmanship is an important ingredient in
it's
success.
It's definitely very important. This, I think, is one thing that's very sorely missed in the business today.
Yeah.
People, some of our players are too cute to realize that, first of all, when you're on the bandstand, you're a public servant, in a sense, you know. You're there to entertain the people who have paid their bread to keep you up on that bandstand,
right,
you know. And when you get so sleep that you can turn your ass to the audience and walk away, then the whole business is in trouble, you know. We should all realize more and more that we are a player for the people, we entertain the people. And let's face it, man, when you're on the bandstand, I don't give a damn how much you play, you're supposed to entertain.
Right.
You are.
And you can do all that and still play great
still
music.
You can do that. You don't have to be considered Remus or Tom to be delightfully exhibiting your wares, you know. Some cats, man, look like they're so dragged about what they're doing. It makes me think, why in the fuck would they stay at home?
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned Tom, and as long as I can remember, Louie's been called Uncle Tom by people of all kinds, musicians and public and everything else, have thrown that shit on him.
I like to see some of these same people who labeled Pops and Tom and Remus and all that. I like to see some of them have to come through the changes that he had to come through in order to emerge as the great man he is, and see which direction they would go, see where they would be.
That's right.
They'd probably still be picking cotton.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. He's done a lot of good, I'll tell you that.
I think people don't realize that that's Pops. He's that way off stage.
Right.
That's his natural sound.
That's the way he's at,
So you ain't Tom, and if you're just being yourself.
Yeah, he helps a lot of people around.
No one ever knows about it.
You know what experience that happened to me with him? Right there on 47th South Park, I was standing on the street corner one night. It must have been about 10 or 10:30. And all of a sudden the cab passes by, it passes me, and somebody is like that out of the cab, you know. So I knew, I knew they were calling me. So I went over to the cab, and there was Pops in the cab. He says, "Hey kid, I used to run errands for the guys in the band." That's how he knew me, you know. So he says, "Hey kid, come on, take a ride with me." So, oh man, I could not have believed it, you know. Guy with Louis Armstrong in the cab. I jumped in the cab, he went down to downtown to Western Union. And he was sending some money off, having to turn by some chick here in New York who was uptight, you know. Mm-hmm.
And some friend of his doing a favor
for him. Yeah. And sending some money back. And then we came back, he took me by his house, played some records, and he had some molasses and some bread that some people had sent him from New Orleans.
Yeah.
And he sat back in his kitchen, man, with bread, molasses, some old records. I never will forget it.
Yeah. You know, he's been known to up at the power. Get in line.
Yeah, cats come up, pass out five and ten. Yeah.
Yeah.
He said he had to cut down in recent years. He never gives no one over $20. It got out of hand. You can imagine handing out $100 bills every night.
He was something else.
Well, I'd like to ask about a controversial subject, and you don't have to talk, you know, for publication if you don't want to about this, but, you know, I always felt there was a weird relationship between Joe Glazer and Louis, and that I felt Louis was exploited, in my opinion, and I'd like you guys. You want it.
Well, you don't have to talk. You know, if you think this is going to hurt you
well, by talking against Mr. Glazer, you don't have to.
Well,
his office ain't.
Only thing I can say about that situation is that Pops seemed to be very happy with the arrangement he had going with them. And I understand, I don't know exact figures, but I understand that whatever his salary was, X amount of dollars, which was sufficient for him to live like a king, and X amount of dollars for his wife, Lucille, which was sufficient for her to live independently as she chose, and the rest of taxes and all the worries and so forth of the keeping up with the government and staying abreast of staying clear of tax problems was left up to Joe Glazer. Now, if he made $1 million behind that, I understand that it was none of Pop's business in the agreement. And if he didn't make that, Pop's expected his salary right on, and I understand it was a very substantial one. And I understand that I even heard some figures. I won't quote them, but because I couldn't swear by them. But if it went down the way that I heard it went down, then it ain't a bad deal. It ain't a bad deal.
Well, from what you just said, I know what you said is true.
Yeah,
and that's correct. But my only argument is that I know Pops could have had anything he wanted, but the point is he never wanted anything, really, except to blow his horn and be able to pay his rent.
I think
it was a good combination of
them. Yeah. They seemed...
Well, they certainly helped each other.
They helped each other, yeah.
But, you know, I think Louis believes that he never would have made it without Joe Glazer.
It might be. It wouldn't.
You think that's possible?
Quite possible.
Yeah. It's possible, because I'm telling you got to have good management. I don't care how great you are. You got to have good management. Good management goes hand in hand with success, with talent. Well, like we all know, there's a whole lot of people who are talented, but they never get the right management or business. A good business, you might have a hell of an idea, you know, for business. But unless you let businesses is done right with good management, you go bankrupt. You go out of business without good management. So I think good management is definitely.
Well, don't you think with someone with the talent that Louis had, that It was so fantastic that he could have made it even with a lousy man.
He probably could have, but...
You know, I think...
He kept him clean all the time, and he never got in any trouble with, you know, with the government and all that.
Yeah,
some of the other guys...
You're right.
Yeah, I mean,
the reason
everybody knows that
big scene, you know.
Yeah. Look at poor Joe Louis.
Yeah.
He made this.
Yeah,
Jackie Robinson.
Ray Robinson,
not Jackie, but Ray.
Fats Waller.
Fats, yeah.
Even Duke got a, what's his name, Mr. Selling.
Al Selling, yeah, got him all
the tax problem.
Yeah. So when you think of it, who's to say, you know?
Yeah.
Could be. Well, the most important thing is that Pops is an intelligent man. Although he wasn't the most educated kid when he was brought up, he still was an intelligent person.
Yeah.
And at the time that he agreed to this agreement that he had, I think he pretty much knew his way around. So I don't think anybody put the pistol on and made him do it.
Oh, I know that. He'd do anything he was asked, as long as he could just keep blowing. But 50 years of one night is that's something else.
He loved doing it, though.
That's right.
He loved doing it. Just like Duke. If he took Duke off the road, man, he'd probably give up and lay down and let the breath run out of him.
You don't think like a month in Vegas and a month in the Latin Quarter?
Quite possibly he didn't.
Better.
Quite possibly he didn't dig that. Maybe he didn't want that.
We don't know how he must have felt it, you know,
he felt he just wanted to reach the people.
I'm sure that
he didn't want to work in Las Vegas for a month.
For a month, he could have done
anything.
Joe would have bought Las Vegas for him, if he'd wanted to stay in Las Vegas for
six
months.
Don't you think he would have preferred working a month?
He must not have.
He didn't one-night it?
He must not have. He didn't ask for it, I'm sure.
It is go to show.
I don't think he would have asked for it.
People contradict themselves when they call Pop.
He told me he'd play in the shit house in Alaska.
In jail, and every place he played like that, you understand what I'm saying?
That's the way he thought about it. He didn't have to do it.
No, I'm sure he didn't do it, force to do it. I'm sure he didn't give him like an ultimatum, you do this or else.
No, I'm sure, but I think that Louis didn't know he could have done better.
I don't know about that.
I'm learning something myself.
One proof.
We don't, none of us know exactly, but we're just judging by,
he was a big man 35 years ago, 40 years ago. He was a big man. He made pictures and
The proof is not
everything.
Right now, he's doing something that he's probably decided this is what he wants to do. He's making television appearances. And he's very successful at it. He's beautiful on all the shows I've ever seen him on.
Yeah.
And I imagine that if he decides he wants to do some Las Vegas clubs or some copas or whatever, he'll do that. And he can do it. Still a great attraction. Still one of the greatest attractions around.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, he's happy doing what he's doing, right?
And he likes what he's doing.
Yeah, this big movie's coming as well. Hello, Dolly.
He's playing right on the part, early.
It's a big movie, With Streisand.
Yeah.
That's the most expensive musical ever.
That's right. How much money is in that picture? So many millions of dollars.
Pops, I remember when he went to California, he was there 2 weeks filming, 2 weeks to do one number.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like on the set every day.
Yeah.
He's been in those pictures as long as I can remember. I mean, since the early 30s. With Crosby, pictures he made with Crosby. They asked him the other day on the show who was his favorite singer. He said Bing Crosby.
Mm-hmm. I didn't have
it. The day when Sammy Davis was there the day before. I forget which.
It could have been that Pops may not have had the desire, maybe not the ability to handle his business and play his acts and
Yeah. He never wanted anything to do with business, right? He never even hired the guys in his band.
Do, man, you know.
You're out in the road, you don't know what the hell's going on in New York.
I don't think he ever hired any musicians for his band, from what I understand.
No, I don't think so.
He didn't want anything to do with it.
That's the hiring or firing? Huh?
The office or the straw boss?
Yeah.
Oh, well, if things got really bad, but I think it'd have to get bad before he would speak up.
Well, that's hard to do when you're not around. If you're out in the road, it's tough, man.
Yeah, it's impossible. Yeah.
Oh. You want to contact somebody, you don't know where they are.
He just wants to concentrate on that horn and how everything else, right?
That's why he's still around.
He sure paid off. Yeah.
Want another ale? Yeah, actually. I got the, every time I see you, Jack, I say the same thing about this tape recorder. I ain't got the tape recorder yet, but I'm going to fly to get one.
At least you're thinking about it.
Yeah. And go over and tape up some things.
That's one of the band boys that came in today.
Yeah.
That's like
weight, man.
So, how these clinics work, Sash?
I just go to
different
schools, colleges, high schools. And we had a little format, talk to the kids about playing and then of course the jazz. And I sent my music ahead. I never heard it, then I heard it.
Oh, man, you should have heard that, man. This guy was playing the lead, the jazz and everything.
I love it.
What the shit out of
him. He's the original work.
Work on it. Yeah.
You're still doing it.
Yeah.
I gotta get out.
Okay. I guess Joe knew one that couldn't make it.
Well, I saw him yesterday.
He said
you did a date
together. Yeah.
Billy, say hello to Yanko
for me,
will
you? Okay. Yeah, Vic. To Dick. Hello, Vic. And Gus, I say hello.
Yeah.
And what's the Englishman?
Bud Freeman.
Oh, Bud.
Yeah, good to see you. Take care, Billy. Beautiful. Good to see you.
You guys gonna be in town for a while?
No, we close this week, so we're going out in the I'll be glad to come out.
Yeah, it's a change.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Oh, my man. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Take care.
Hey, when you get famous, just remember who did
it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be there tomorrow night.
Okay.
See you later. All right.
All right.
Yeah, boy, he's with you out there, cat, man.
That's right. And he could stand it, man.
Yeah, he could. Oh, man, he was good.
You still got those chops.
Yeah.
When they do those flag waivers over there, like he's over the top of it. Whole thing.
Yeah.
Drowns them all out.
Yeah,
Billy Butterfield and then was doing the Erskine Butterfield, wasn't it?
Yeah, piano.
Erskine Butterfield. They had bands about the same time, too, around 38. I can't remember Erskine Butterfield.
Yeah, was that the
Erskine Butterfield?
Kind of looking at us.
That's part of
it. Oh,
that's
part of the costume.
That's the costume. You got a little fat in
China.
It looks
like a pussy to me. Yeah. It might be a pair of drawers.
One of them old fedora drawers.
Yeah.
Fine, looking old.
What does the pop sign on before we go?
Yeah.
Did you finish all the questions?
Yeah.
Hey, beautiful. Cigar.
Cool.
Well,
I'm
scared to
say it
for later.
Good smoke.
Okay. What do you
want to
hear?
Anything.
You know what I want to hear?
Well,
I like to hear that West End blues.
Yeah, that would be a good one.
Okay.
You got Skip the Gutter?
Yeah.
Yeah, put it in there.
Strutting with some barbecue, Skip the Gutter, West End.
One at a time, boy.
Skip the motherfucking gutter.
Yeah, skip the motherfucking gutter.
Skip the pig leg motherfucking ass, right? We got a fucking gutter.
There you go, there, boy.